It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
We're back, baby. We're back. We made it. We are officially... this is our reunion. This is the Stateside Soccer Show.
You know who else is back? Phil Neville. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Go on later in the show. But yeah, we got a big show because... somebody was a little too busy for the last week.
It was brutal. You know those stretches where you just get into like, and it usually happens later in the year, but like for some reason it was these last 2 weeks have just been absolutely crazy at work and at home and just having plans and people out of town and in town.
We get it. You're popular. All right. I can record at a drop of a dime, but this guy has all these friends and plans and stuff.
Halloween Horror Nights is over at Universal Studios, so that pretty much frees up everything.
Right.
It's a very busy time, so.
Yeah, but we got some big news today that we're going to talk about. We're also going to recap the current state of the playoffs. We're going to get Logan's thought on the format now that games have started. I talked about some of my complaints before games started, so we'll kind of see if our thoughts have changed at all, if mine have changed, or you know what we think after watching a few games. And then we'll look ahead to the game threes that are coming up, if any other game twos are still to be played. And then we will also talk some USL playoffs as the final is getting set for Sunday. Logan's Charleston Battery in the final against Phoenix Rising. So we'll talk about that a bit. And then we'll probably wrap it up there. But and like I said, we'll talk Phil Neville. Going to Portland, we'll talk some of this disciplinary stuff that's been going on around the whole league. We've made it, guys. we've made it. Our players are sometimes shitty. We've made it. But it seems like that happens with every league now at this point, unfortunately. Yeah. So we'll talk about all that. But I wanted to start with, I think, the biggest news of the day, the one I didn't see coming. Which was the USL and CBS have signed a 4-year media rights agreement. So the USL and CBS have signed a 4-year deal. This is bringing 100 USL matches annually through the 2027 USL Championship and USL League One seasons. The games will be shown across CBS, Paramount Plus, CBS Sports Network, and CBS Sports Galazzo Network. The Galazzo Network, if anybody recalls, you can watch it on Paramount. It is just like a streaming channel on there. Or if you have Pluto TV, which is free, you can just download Pluto TV and stream Galazzo Network on there. They've been playing games on there at times. It's completely free. It's just ad-driven, so, you know, you'll have ads before the game and then at halftime, which is pretty much what we get anyway on stuff we pay for. So not bad. Several of the games will be featured on the CBS broadcast network, including the USL Championship Final. And this is really the big part of the deal, I think, because I don't think they've ever been on broadcast network television at all. Like, the most they've been on are these when they put on the final on ESPN2. And when that was announced, I was like, oh, it's not on ESPN Plus. It's on ESPN 2. Like, woo. We're going to get games on CBS. The final is going to be on CBS proper. Like, that's pretty huge. And I kind of talked about it at the beginning of the season on the closed pyramid specials I did about the lower levels. At the beginning of the season, I did a preview. I talked about, I think Miami FC made a deal with their local CBS. I said, that's a huge deal because right now, Inter Miami is behind a paywall. Now, that was before Messi came and really forced people to buy like Apple. Like, that forces you to take more notice of Inter Miami. But the idea I had was, if you're just flipping around channels as a Miami resident and stumble across Miami FC, you might think, oh, this is our local team. I'm going to watch this. This is my team. I was easily able to find it for free over the air. That's pretty big for this. They'll have more than just the finals, I think, but we're going to get like at least 20 games on the CBS Sports Network, which I think is a pretty big deal for something like this. I know people say CBS Sports Network's probably not as in many cable packages as ESPN, but ESPN played like, I don't know, 5 games this year on ESPN2. That they played USL games, plus the final coming up this weekend. That's it. That's all they've ever really showed on there. It sounds like ESPN is not done, though. These 100 games are not the full slate of matches, meaning that we are going to... The rumors say ESPN Plus or YouTube or somebody is getting the rest of the games. So if you're a USL fan, it's not like all these games disappear. Sounds like there's going to be some matches on the CBS Paramount and then on ESPN Plus. So maybe a downside a little bit if you're a strictly USL fan who's like, now I have to have ESPN Plus and Paramount. But I think most of us kind of have Paramount because of Champions League and, you know, stuff like that. Big Brother live feeds, Frasier, right? I mean, you know, we have Paramount for Champions League and Serie A and stuff. A lot of soccer fans do. So this might, they have some US games, right? At times when they had the Nations League. So I do think a lot of people do have this package. Some games will be on Golazo, which are totally free. So there's a bonus there. But I think just getting on network television is a huge deal, Logan. And I hope that this ups the quality of the streams a bit, too. What I mean by that is not just the stream quality, but like camera quality, the amateurish production level of some of these USL games. Because I think if a game's on main CBS, CBS is probably taking control of that broadcast, I would think. I think they would be a little worried about standard broadcast quality, right? For a game, if it's like the final or a game they're putting on CBS after NFL football or whatever. So that's my thoughts on the CBS part specifically. What are your thoughts on this being on a main over the air channel?
You know, I like it. I think, we've always talked about growth in the league, and ESPN's not going to grow. I'd actually see a day where, ESPN doesn't really exist anymore. And I know Disney's talked a lot about having problems with ratings with ESPN. ESPN Plus has always been kind of an iffy. Every time I watch ESPN Plus, too, it feels like somebody's taken out their cell phone and put it on a tripod to record it. whereas I think, you're right, Jordan, I think CBS has like a unique network that they've set up. And I think, too, because they're typically more localized than ESPN, even because they do cover mainstream media, they cover news media. I think they've got a lot of outlets. I know there's tons of CBS network stations in and around Orlando. So, again, I think that you're looking at a network that can handle that better, whereas ESPN's kind of they don't really have people per se that are locally placed in the market that have the equipment and the production value, I think, that like a CBS would have. So I think, again, just the quality of production that they've done with the Champions League now, they've done CONCACAF. I know they do a lot with the Argentinian League. I know there's a lot of leagues in South America they've touched on. I mean, CBS is now becoming the, I guess, the soccer network aside from Peacock. Like, Peacock has the Premier League, but everything else seems to be found on CBS. I think even Liga MX is even Fox and CBS. So it'll be interesting. I'm kind of fascinated by what they'll do as far as production quality. And I think ultimately the more money that this league can make off of TV rights, I think, and if they can set up something with MLS where it's, you know, MLS feeds into kind of what the pyramid does over in England, where there is a shared monetary value with USL, and somehow these teams can become even more so interconnected. I think that's happening with MLS is next. So I don't know. I feel like it's all inner workings of creating a minor league system, which I think the United States has done so well in. And I use baseball, for example, where some of the main minor league baseball teams are just as big as a following as maybe one of the lower tier MLB teams. So, no, I love this deal. I think it's great for the sport and great for USL because I really do enjoy USL. I think there's kind of a fun element to it, just like in the minor leagues when you have baseball too.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge. Now, I know in August it was reported they were supposed to do a vote for Pro Rel. That kind of got pushed off, and we don't know when they're supposed to do that or if they're ever going to do that. The way that these deals keep being made with USL League One and USL Championship makes me think maybe that might still be a thing sometime down the line. Mm-hmm. I know it's all one conglomerate, so maybe they would always be part of the same deal, but they always mention USL Championship in USL League One, and they don't usually ever mention USL League Two. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff where I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's still on the table. But I think this is a really big deal. No pun intended with deal. Like, I'm not talking about the deal itself, but like a big deal that it is on a chance to be on broadcast television. That's how you have people find it. I know we've just talked about maybe that's didn't really work for MLS and stuff at times, mm-hmm. but I would think, like you said, if CBS is the destination and they're going to starting to put coverage of this thing on the Galazzo show, the morning football show that they do. If you're doing that, if you're adding in highlights and stuff like that with talk shows that are also talking about Champions League and Serie A and big news like that, that helps legitimize it too. Right. And you get this. That was probably the biggest problem on ESPN and Fox is that, like, you know, you turn on FS1 and they're not talking about, you know, MLS. They're talking about what LeBron ate for breakfast and why that upset Skip Bayless and why, you know, blah, 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 blah. If you're on this, if you're like watching a morning show on CBS Sports, hopefully they put it on the CBS Sports Network as well. But if they don't and you're just watching that morning footy show they have, I mean, you're going to see USL. You might think, oh, I have to check that out. I hope so anyway. And I do hope this ups the quality of the cameras and stuff because I have some complaints. I was watching Phoenix Rising and SAC Republic semifinal. And at first, they come on the screen saying, we have audio issues. Right, audio issues. I'm like, all right, fine. I don't need to hear anything. Sure. I'll just watch the game. Then, like, they come on after they fixed audio issues, and they're like, well, we got, like, one camera angle we're going to be able to use here because of this situation. We're trying to get it under control. And I'm like, this is not a good look for a semifinal. Right? I don't think ESPN Plus handles that. I think USL has to, like, produce their own stuff, and then they just have to either pay ESPN to put it on there or they have the deal to put it on there. But hopefully, at least for the CBS games, CBS is like, for these 100 matches, we're producing these. We're going to be doing this because that will give a lot more credence to the league itself. Because right now, if you turn on a USL game at times, it looks like you're watching a high school football game, you mm-hmm. know? And you're like, I can enjoy that, right? But there's a lot of people that will look at that and say, that's not real. Right? They're going to say, that's not real. I'm not watching this. They're going to go and flip on a rerun of the Champions League or the Bundesliga or something because they're like, the quality is so drastically different. And we were able to see that quality increase from ESPN Plus and the local stuff to Apple News huge. I'm kind of hoping for a big jump like that where it's not going to obviously be as good as Apple. What I mean, like, is a big jump in the fact of a big leap in the current production to whatever they're going to get next. I think that is what's needed to help get this to another level. And hopefully over these 4 years, the league grows a bit more. And then they are able to redo the deal with either CBS or another partner for more money, because that's what this league is going to need. It's going to continue to need good TV deals. And that was something I kind of brought up in the preview back all the way like in March or something. So I'm glad I'm getting my wish.
You did it, Jordan.
I did. Yeah, I can take credit for this. I did this. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome, everyone. Yep.
Yeah. Just wait till you start seeing the residuals.
There's so many good teams in this league, too. Like historical teams, Sac Republic, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Like they have some really good teams that I like watching. Phoenix Rising is a team that, you know, they used to have Drogba, you know. So there's a lot of good stuff with that. So hopefully it all works out. 4-year deal. But yeah, the rest of it looks like it's going to probably be on ESPN Plus. So make sure you don't cancel that ESPN Plus subscription yet if you're a USL fan. Okay. Okay, I guess let's talk Phil Neville. You want to talk Phil Neville?
Yeah, we can do Phil.
Okay, officially Portland's new manager. Why?
Wow.
Why? I kind of put this there like when it was first linked, and all the replies from Portland fans on our Twitter were like, this makes no sense. Also, I didn't know this, but apparently Phil Neville Twitter history is not good. If you want to look up some bad tweets he's posted about women, feel free to do so. And so that's not a good look. Kind of fits in with Merritt Paulson, though, so I guess that's a that's a match made in heaven. Buddies.
Yeah, no, I don't. He's never had success in MLS. Like borderline.
His biggest
success
was what? The English national team for women? That was it, right?
I mean,
it's like all he's done. And then he came over here. We got it. We understood. He was friends with Bex. All right. He did get him to a playoff appearance. And then they sucked. They were really bad at the beginning of the year. Let's not forget that. For anybody that was like, well, they didn't finish the year that well either. The difference, the gulf between Phil Neville and Tata Martino is like as big as the Grand Canyon. And then also like, that team won something this year after he left. Like, we can't just be like, well, in regular season play, they didn't finish. Like, Phil Neville had opportunities. Maybe not the best roster, but he did get an upgraded roster, I would still say, at the beginning of this year compared to last year. And it wasn't working. I don't think he's going to succeed in Portland. I just can't. I can't see it, Logan. I can't. And Before you get any more thoughts here, I just want to report this thing that was in the Oregon Live, right? Or Oregonian. It's got two names. A source told the Oregonian/Oregon Live that some internal staff at the Timbers are wary of Neville's hire, concerned about what they've heard regarding the experiences of technical and performance staff when Neville was at Inter Miami. The mood among some Timbers staff members was also described as frustrated that the club pushed forward with the hire despite public outcry. And that public outcry they're talking about are the fans, who were very, very clear and put out statements that they did not like this hire. And we already had them like walk out at some point earlier this year, right? Or I don't know. That was RSL, I think. But
Well, no, they had a similar
Timbers
situation,
had something else.
I think it was,
yeah. And yeah. I mean, I could see the same sort of thing. It's going to just leave this negative vibe over the team, I think, going into next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's already hesitancy among the staff that's already there, the technical side of it. There's also their supporter group came out and said that they weren't happy with the decision, yeah. And that's never good. I mean, that usually usually takes a little bit for the supporters to turn. But no, this is not to mention they announced his arrival, and I'm sorry to kind of bash on the social media team, but when he steps over the stadium, that was kind of weird. Don't really know what was going on there. Maybe it was his idea, and he threatened them that's what they do or else. But yeah, no, I don't like it. 35-42-13 with Inter Miami, so he didn't have a winning record. Lost quite a bit. It seemed like the players really just liked him too. Like it seems like he didn't have the best of culture with. I mean, there wasn't really a staple on that team, Jordan. Like it seemed like even the Higuaín's were kind of like, whoa. So I don't know. It also, how much did he have to do? Because he said part of the reason why he didn't succeed in Miami was the sanctions. Well, that was part of his problem. He did some of that. So I don't really know. Like he and Beckham decide on that, and you know, I don't know. I don't think it's a necessarily good hire. I think it's Jordan. Are we to the point where we believe that some of these MLS owners just don't know soccer that well, and they just go after the big fish because we're just new to it and they don't get it? Like I feel like this organization at least had an idea of what they were doing with Gio, but this just seemed like one of those, oh, well, it's a big name. Let's just bring him in.
It is a puzzling move, I think, because I'm like, okay, who hired him, right? Is there the GM that hired him, or is it Merritt Paulson doing his thing to hire them because he's a little bit more involved with the team than most owners? Because they've had history, right? Caleb Porter was a Portland coach. Really, their worst one before this was John Spencer, their first coach. And then they had, I think then they went to Caleb Porter, and then they went to Savarese. Maybe I'm missing a coach there. But they've had a pretty good history of coaches until, well, now, I guess. look, maybe it'll work out, but like when you have your fans this much against it, he's got prior history of being controversial. He's not like a big name in the sense of manager, right? He's a big player mm-hmm. name, maybe. He's a big player name if you are a fan of soccer.
Right.
I don't think like John Smith on the street is like, Phil Neville, the former Manchester United player, is going to be managing. I got to get season tickets. Yeah. Like, I don't think that is the way that's going to work. So yeah, it's puzzling because they've had other success before, I think, but so I can't say like they don't know soccer because they've been able to make good soccer decisions before. It's just kind of like maybe they were just wowed by the name of like, we can get him. That'd be nice. It sounds like he was linked to so many teams. I think I saw somebody say Minnesota maybe even, or Minnesota, you know, now has to look for a new manager candidate because he's out. And I'm like, I don't understand the fascination with them. I mean, almost it'd be like Adrian Heath would be a better hire for them.
Yeah.
For Portland. And that's a joke because I actually, you know, we don't actually have that many years of data on Neville here. But I don't know. I just think it's really bizarre. I thought when he was done in Miami, he's done in this league.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you go back overseas. Yeah. Where he's a little bit more famous and maybe get some more opportunities. I don't understand why he's getting picked. I would rather kept Savarese.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I mean, it's a step backwards. I mean, you're always excited about a new manager who's got new blood. This is, I mean, it's similar, I guess, to when people got and hired Tab Ramos. Like, I don't know what they expect to happen, but I saw somebody on Twitter compared to Ben Olsen, and maybe that's that comparison. I was like, ew, no, that's not. Ben Olsen's done really well with Houston, so I don't really know where that comparison came from, but maybe because there wasn't a ton of success in the past, like where it was glaring. But I mean, Phil Neville just, I don't know. Like, he doesn't seem like he's somebody that's going to get along with players. And I feel like that's the direction in which most sports are going, is you got to be a player's manager anymore. So he doesn't strike me.
Here's some fan reactions from Twitter. So I put out a tweet saying, I quote tweeted Tom Bogert's report and said, not sure about this. Any Portland fans' thoughts? Michael Bales said, a proven unsuccessful coach, beyond bizarre. Considering his past tweets about women, Paulson is shaking an already angry hornet nest. I like the way he worded that. Then I have Ian Query, who says, nope, it's all empty up there. I guess in Portland's management. We have Connor, who's hashtag Paulson out and Neville out already. He's not going to get a warm welcome here by any means. And then Timbers Y Tacos says, check the training tweets. But yeah, F Merritt Paulson, F Bill Neville, shit coach in MLS with a dubious background. Same shit that the Timbers have been trying to rid themselves of over the last few years. So I know that's only four responses, but I didn't hear a single good thing from a Timbers fan at all. Anywhere online, by the way.
No. A vote of no confidence is what it sounded like.
Yeah, jeez. Time for Palpatine to step in.
Right. I don't know what's going on.
And then to do it with your staff not being fully on board, it's just even more bizarre.
Wait till Bruce Arena joins his staff.
That would even be a better hire. That's the real question I have here is we've heard, you know, Arena is maybe in the hunt for the DC job. He would have to apply. And that's kind of, we can kind of segue this with the disciplinary stuff, because has this been a season for MLS disciplinary committee? Taxi Fountas had his second strike. Mm-hmm. He was out. There's probably another one. You had Bruce Arena, which we still don't know what happened there. Kai Wagner, apparently on the game that I went to, the first game of round one against the Revs, Bobby Wood, who does speak German, by the way, was called a name in German from Kai Wagner. And there is video of the incident to where, like, you see people react, but you don't really see anything else. And then we now have the Matt Miazga Cincinnati thing, which is confirmed. We're not really sure what happened there, though. One report says he tried to open, like, go in the door of the pro refs and then had to be removed from security. Another report says he wasn't removed by security, but by, like, somebody else, communication staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one just said the area. It doesn't sound like he actually maybe got in the room. So who knows what's going on there? But this has been a lot. And it's kind of funny that we can get, you know, the Kai Wagner thing happened almost a week and a half ago. We finally got some updates on that. He suspended 3 games. That's it. Just 3 games, which is fairly standard, I think. We usually get between 3 to 5 on these things. So he's suspended. He's probably leaving Philly anyway. He turned the whole Philly fans against him. They were all like, pay Kai Wagner. They were chanting that when I was at the game. And now most of them are like, all right, if he's going to be racist, like, we're done with you. So I don't think he's going to have a warm reception if he does ever play again for us. And then the fact is, we actually already know more about that incident and the Miazga incident than we ever knew about Bruce Arena's incident. And that happened in, what, July?
Yeah. Yep. I don't get it. I don't. I mean, it's not necessarily what you want to be known for. You hear about, I actually hear more often players going after the other locker room and trying to get into the other locker room way more than I've ever heard somebody go after a ref. I don't know. Maybe it makes MLS reconsider where to put the refs. I don't know. Or security by the ref's door. Just so this kind of, because honestly, I think it was probably both were in the wrong. I think Miazga's wrong for the way he reacted. I mean, I get it. It's a playoff game. You're in the moment. It's intense, but you don't have to, you know, that's a scary moment, an intense moment for the refs. Nobody likes to be confronted like that. And I get it. You're upset, but air those grievances out somewhere else.
File an appeal.
It doesn't have to be,
Right. File an appeal for the yellow card accumulation. I would just be like,
right.
I was obviously not instigating the fans because I don't think he was. I've seen some people think he still was, but the way it looked like to me is he celebrated when he scored the penalty and then was kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. crap, maybe I shouldn't have celebrated in front of these fans because I used to be them and I'm a hometown kid. So then I felt like then he was trying to overcompensate. Like, no, I love you guys. I love you guys. Sorry, I didn't mean to celebrate. Yeah. But some people are reading that as maybe more nefarious. But at that point, you're not going to be able to change the ref's mind. And definitely going into their room is not going to change their mind. And I guess what happened there is he maybe didn't realize that he was going to miss the next game because of yellow card accumulation. So he's probably told that in the locker room. And then he probably got upset and tried to get in there, is my thought. And when we're talking about security or comm staff, I think the pro refs just saw him get carried away and thought it was security. I think that's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're not going to change your mind. So at that point, I wouldn't even bother talking to them. I would just try to file some sort of appeal. If it doesn't work, oh, well, it doesn't work. But guess what? You're going to be suspended more than one match now. You're going to be suspended a lot of matches now.
Yep. Yeah, it's the one thing I never did get. Like, I played sports. I played baseball and basketball. And yeah, there were times where I'm like, that was completely a missed call. But I was always in the mindset. And I was always clear enough, even the most intense situation, I was always clear enough to go, there's nothing that can happen that's going to be positive with turning around and saying something to them. Because the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to get punished for whatever you do. So it doesn't make any sense to me why people can always say that, well, it's intense, it's the heat of the moment. I'm like, no, like you really do have, like, you know not to yell at them. Like, you know, that's something that's going on in your head as you're playing the game is the officials are people that you just don't yell at. You know that nothing good, you can't change the call. You can ask them questions. Yeah. Now, I've seen people get carded because they ask a question and they're like, no, seriously, I was just asking a question, and then getting upset about that. That I understand, but like the way that he charged the ref, like what did you think was going to happen? Like, did you think that was going to turn out well for you? Because what's he going to do, change it? I just don't get that. And nowadays, especially because we have instant replay, there's people in their ear going, oh no, we're going to review that. That's not right. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's no reason to even try this in soccer. Baseball does it now. Basketball does it now. There's no reason to try to argue with the official. The cameras, you're going to go to the camera. My favorite ones are the people that they don't get the review and then they still go after the ref. I'm like, what are you going to do? They're not going to change the call. It's going to do nothing for you besides get you a nice little punishment or a fine. Like, I don't understand. I never will get it.
Yeah. And it's, you have to know, like, he's probably going to win Defensive Player of the Year. You have to know how important you are to your team. You already won the series. You have 3 weeks off. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to miss that game because of the yellow card accumulation. File an appeal, whatever you got to do. If you can appeal it, I don't even know if you can. But if you can appeal it. If not, then you're sitting out that game. But guess what? Your team needs you. They have, like, no depth at center back right now. And now they have to go without you for what is for sure to be more than just one game. And that might just kill their chances completely of winning MLS Cup when they looked pretty good. They've looked pretty good. They've had a good shot to win that. And now it's like probably not going to happen. Defense is so important, especially if you're a Defensive Player of the Year. Like, it is so important in this league that where the defense is not that great, it is so important in this league to be level-headed and not lose your mind over certain calls. All right. But yeah, so it's been a bit of a increase in this kind of stuff lately with the disciplinary committee. Hopefully next year is not as big of an increase. But the union have said Kai Wagner will not travel with the team. They said that before he was suspended as well. They've kind of taken the stance enough of, we're going to leave you here. It sounds like he did own up to the fact that he said it and stuff, so it's not really in doubt. So if you're a union fan out there being like, oh, maybe he said this thing. No, just stop. It sounds like it's done. Sounds like it's done. The investigation is done. Everything's done. Just, you know, move on. All right, so we got some other, before we get into the games, just some big stuff that happened signing wise or like roster wise. As we get to here, we've got Chicharito and LA Galaxy parting ways after 4 years. So Chicharito is leaving LA Galaxy. It's a shame because I think when he's healthy, he was really good. He's just not healthy a lot anymore at this point. And LA Galaxy badly need a revamp with their team. So probably written in the stars there that they'll be parting ways. We had the Rapids part ways with Jack Price and Diego Rubio. So they're no longer part of the club as they had their options declined. So some stuff there. And some big news. There's a rumor or being reported, I guess, that Luis Suarez is going to be the one replacing Joseph Martinez at Inter Miami. So we're going to have, I don't know, another 4 or 5 DPs in Miami here as Luis Suarez.
I think Ivan Rakitic, or however his first name, Rakitic was also now rumored too. Yes.
That's a big stretch there. If that happens, you really wonder, how are they doing this?
Well, that's CBS money, baby.
Apple money, not CBS. Right. USL still can't afford those players. Kind of interesting. I think that this has kind of been in the works for a year. We've heard rumors of Suarez coming over this summer and all that kind of stuff. So not much to it, I don't think. I think it will happen, but I just think there's not much to really say about it. He is 30-some years old, so he's getting up there in age as well.
Disciplinary committee will be very busy.
Yeah, true.
He's had all sorts of issues.
Situation.
He's had racist comments, bit people. Like, the dude's a walking record.
True. But football-wise, soccer-wise, a big move if it happens. And I think he can definitely still be a good help to the team and probably be more consistent than Joseph was at this point. Joseph just hasn't really been the same since his injury. And I think bringing in a player like Luis Suarez that also has worked with Messi in the past and they have that connection, that's what will really help, because they'll be just like it was when Busquets is making passes to Messi or Alba's making passes to Messi. They've run those plays a million times. I was watching the Messi documentary on Apple and they were, you know, they asked him a question about one of the goals. I forget which goal it was in League's Cup. And he said, oh, that's like a play me and Jordi Alba have done 100 times on practice, in games. He just knew where I was going to be. I knew where he's going to put the ball. That's what he's going to be like when Suarez comes over too. So it's going to be a pretty big deal, I think, for Miami if it happens. And why I can't count them out for having, I don't know what I would call like a remarkable turnaround, even though they won League's Cup this year. If we look at league position, they might have a remarkable turnaround, almost like Cincy going from, you know, 3 consecutive wooden spoons to a playoff team last year and now a supporter shield team. They might be pretty darn good.
Yeah, I'm interested to kind of see how the Eastern Conference kind of plays out, because I think Philadelphia is going to be due for kind of a reboot. They'll get rid of a lot of their guys, I think. I think Orlando's losing Antonio Carlos from what it sounds like, so they're going to have to shore up some of that back line. I think they'll lose Facundo Torres possibly too. I just feel like he's destined for the Premier League at this point. But yeah, I think the East is going to have an interesting reset. Like, because I think Nashville's one, again, we always say this, Nashville's one star striker away from being really good in this league. They just can't ever figure it out. It seems that's what they're missing. They've got one of the best goal scorers and probably one of the best players, arguably, in the whole league. How long does Hany Mukhtar stay? It sounds like he's going to stay for his whole career, which is exciting. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. The Eastern Conference, Jordan, is going to be so good, whereas the Western Conference is just not. It's like they've got a lot of work. I will say the Western Conference has a lot of work. There's a couple of good teams, I think, and a shell of a really good team, I think, in Seattle. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what
this
happens.
Is what we need, though. It's not to cut you off here. Sorry. We need the East to have these type of stars. And like the fact that Messi's playing in the East, while usually that would have been a West Coast thing, Zlatan, right. Beckham, Carlos Vela, Chicharito, mm-hmm. right? the last stars we've had in the East are like Therrion Ray, Tim Cahill. It's like David Villa. Right. Those are it. Lampard and Gerrard were like half a season in New York. I don't really count that. But having stars like Messi, Busquets, Alba, Suarez on the East, and the East being good with good teams like Cincy with Acosta and, you know, their stars that they've been starting to pull in a little bit more, that is huge for this league, I think, because before it kind of, you kind of look at the East and be like, eh, not much there. Like, I'm going to watch the West if I'm a casual, probably. Now, most of the casuals are watching a lot of East teams when you see Messi on the field, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's turn on the Messi game or whatever. And that's good, because I'm a fan of the East. So I will take, while I liked Philly being the best team in the East for me, I think being more competitive can only push you the rest of the way. Like, LAFC had to, like, really earn it when they won the Supporter Shield and when they win MLS Cup, because they had to go up against some of the better teams in the league. And it kind of came to the point where I felt like in the East, you know, you play the East all the time and they weren't good, and you're kind of like, like, I guess we're, you get to the final or something and you suck or something. So sometimes it worked out in favor, like Columbus beating Seattle in the MLS Cup.
Cash is destroying whatever that was.
Okay, real quick. They've announced Young Player of the Year. That's Thiago Almada. So that is there. Atlanta's sweeping these things so far. Newcomer of the Year went to Giakoumakis. And the rest the rest of the finalists, you know, MVP finalists are Acosta, Almada, Bawanga. I think that's going to Acosta. I think Almada, since he won, you know, the young player's not going to win that. And Bawanga wins Golden Boot. I don't think you need to give him MVP, really.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that, again, talking about a good Eastern team, I think Atlanta, like we talked about at the beginning of the year, Garth Lagerwey in as president, and then you've got some money to spend with Arthur Blank. Blank check,
and
baby.
They play tonight.
Like, they.
Here's one I want to know your thoughts on. Coach of the Year, because I think this is the hardest thing. You have Bradley Carnell, St. Louis. Record breaking when it comes to an expansion team. Wilfred Nancy, who did a really good job with Crew. Pat Noonan. Those are your finalists for Cincinnati. Win Supporter Shield. Great.
Yeah.
Turn this team around.
Mm-hmm.
They could have even put Ben Olsen up there. They could have. Ben Olsen could have been in there instead of Nancy, really. And I would have been fine with that.
Yep.
I think it comes really, it's really tough when I look at St. Louis, what they were expected to be and what Carnell had them be. But they started really sliding off at the end. And comparing it to Cincy, who were supposed to be good, but I don't think everybody thought they'd be this good.
Mm-hmm.
I probably have to give it to Pat Noonan if I'm sitting here thinking, but I think you can make an argument for any of these and Ben Olsen, and I could probably not like care. Like, I'd probably, that's a good winner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I probably am a little biased, but I'd throw Oscar Pereja in there too.
Yeah. Second place.
Because the year he's had with Orlando, but like you said, Jordan, I think everybody's playing second flute to Pat Noonan. I mean, this team, The people knew they were going to be good, and there were some people that did predict them, but it was maybe one or two that really predict them being top of the East. Not like they go through and just ransack the league, which they basically did. Defensively, they scored a ton of goals. Like, this is arguably one of the best teams that we've seen besides that LAFC team that we watched a couple of years ago. So, yeah, this I agree with you. I think Pat, but like you said, there's so many Coach of the Year is so tough. Because there's so many things you got to look at that you can look at. Like, yeah, no, St. Louis had no business, right? They had no business doing what they did. And I think, like you said, I think the tail off at the end ultimately loses them that honor. Had they made another, you know, had they gotten Supporter Shield or gotten closer to Cincinnati, I think it'd be more of a conversation. But they really did start to, I mean, they had one hell of a start. And after that, it was kind of like that fourth to fifth seed kind of ride that you had with them. So I don't know. I think in playing in a very weak West, I will give them that. I think that the West was extremely weak this year. So
I agree. I don't
know. Cincinnati beat a lot of good teams.
Okay, goalkeeper of the year finalists is Roman Berkey, Celentano from Cincy, and Galese. Sorry, I think I have to give it to Berkey. I think Berkey was really good. Yeah. Yep. Defender of the year, we have Miazga, Andrade from Sounders, and Tim Parker. And I think it's going to be Miazga. Do you think they can? Do you think they would change it at all if the disciplinary committee with this, or do you think it's like locked in? They're like, this would be a bad look if we give it to him after this, or we give it to second place winner, or we just right. I don't know how this works legally either. Like, if there's any tampering with awards, you know, so I would assume they would just have to still present it to the person that won the award. And I think that's fine. I don't think you should take this type of award away for misbehavior either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this team plays like they've always played defensively, even going back to early last year before they got the correction with Miazga in the back. I think, I mean, we talked about how historically bad they were. They just had to outscore people defensively. Barriel was not a defender. They put him back there, and he's been gold. So, you know, I think Miazga has a lot to do with that, just being a staple. And like you said, I don't really think they don't really, I mean, the awards pretty much stopped before this all started. They're just now giving the nominations. I think people don't remember that they, I mean, I know you and I know, but I think it's good to note that they don't consider playoffs to be anything that goes into factoring into these.
And then it looks like the last award that is voted on that we would probably know anything about would be Comeback Player of the Year, which are finalists João Paulo from Sounders, Alan Pulido, and Miles Robinson. I'm thinking it's probably going to be Pulido, but
that's what I would think.
I mean, especially with how good they've been lately. I could see that. The comeback player is a tough thing too. It's like, what are your things, right? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, especially defensively and attacking players. Like, it's very difficult to determine who was, I guess, more, because you're saying who's the most valuable out of that group. Like that's what everything comes.
Yeah, last
to.
Last year is Gonzalo Higuain.
Yeah.
Who won that?
I could see being Pulido. I just think he had such an impact on that team. They were god awful, and now they're in the playoff. Like, Jordan, we were talking about, I think we did like 4 weeks in a row how bad Sporting Kansas City was.
Yeah, I mean, we did. I mean, they were very bad. They were had not won a game in 10 or whatever, and then they hadn't scored in 10 or something like that. They hadn't scored in a long time. Pulido finishes the season with 14 goals. That's got to be comeback player of the year. 14 goals. That's six off of Bowanga.
Right.
Three off of Acosta. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And he only played 28 games, which is the least. Well, Giakoumakis played 27 and Chucho played 27. But, I mean, still, 28 games. Only started 26. It's pretty good. Pretty good amount scoring after coming back from injury. All right, let's go to the games that took place this past week or so, however long we've been going. Playoff round one results so far. This is, of course, as we are recording Tuesday evening before the Tuesday games coming up here. So if you're listening on Wednesday, we won't be referring to those. But LAFC move on. After they sweep Vancouver 2-0 in that series, Cincy wins an epic shootout to beat the Red Bulls and sweep them 2-0. SKC sweep St. Louis 2-0. And SKC has been the best team in the West since May. Really just shows you how much they've turned it around. Dallas forces game 3 with Seattle. Columbus lead 1-0. In the series over Atlanta, they will play again tonight. Orlando lead over Nashville 1-0. They will play again tonight. Philly lead 1-0 over the Revs. They will play again tomorrow. And it sounds like now, as well, they might be without Julian Carranza as well, who has a hamstring issue and is a game time decision from what I just saw. So no Kai Wagner due to suspension, and Carranza is a game time decision. So they will be playing up in New England, and probably the perfect circumstances maybe for New England to get a game here to force a game three. And then RSL forced game three with Houston. So that's where we currently stand right now. Logan, what was the biggest shock you think out of these games?
I definitely think SKC is everybody's pick. I mean, maybe not in the shocking way that they have been playing well since May.
I will say, Logan, you picked this pretty early.
Yeah. Well, did I? SKC?
I don't know. I definitely, when they were one game up, you were like, this is it. This is over. So, oh, I mean, I think that's...
Yeah. I thought you meant like early in the year. I don't remember that.
No, I meant you did predict. I mean, I guess when you're already at one game, it's easier. But I mean, still, you didn't really have faith in St. Louis going into the playoffs.
No. And I think, I mean, expansion teams, like we've always talked about this, the more experienced team, especially in the three-game series, the more experienced team is probably going to win the series, or the one that's playing better, just because I think three games gives you that window of you got to go to their place to play at their place. And a lot of these better teams, better seeds are the ones that are knocking them off. But SKC, man, kudos to them. That's a really tough environment to win in St. Louis. They win the first game, and it's impossible to win in Children's Mercy when they're playing well. Like, it might be the most difficult place to play in. I would say them. I'd say the Union are really tough. Austin would be really tough. LAFC really tough to play in.
A lot of people had success at Austin this year.
That's true. But when it's a good team and they're playing in their home, I think it's difficult. But yeah, no, I think SKC definitely. The way that Daniel Shallowy just becomes a different player. He's a monster in the playoffs, an absolute goal threat. They've got experience like Gotti Kinda, Johnny Russell. Like, they just got a good team. Defensively, I thought that's where we really had questions about them, but they've really seemed to kind of shore that up a little bit better just to keep themselves in games, and that's been the big difference. They've been able to play defensively with some of these teams, and St. Louis can score a ton. So to be able to hold them to two goals on year six, I mean, that's pretty incredible. So kudos, I guess, to SKC. Peter Vermes is one hell of a coach still.
Yeah, SKC had to beat San Jose. They win in penalties in the wild card to beat San Jose. New York beat Charlotte 5-2 at Red Bull Arena. And then Saturday was Philly 3, New England 1. I was there. Atmosphere was great, by the way. Fans really brought it. That was a good game. 3-1. I was really happy with the performance from the Union there. And I think one thing, my wife noticed this too. We've talked about it before on here, how I'm impartial, right? I mean, as best as I can be, right? But even when I'm at games, I'm that way, I will say. Even before we started podcasting, I would be kind of more impartial because I feel sorry for what the refs have to go through anyway. But, you know, I'm there and Carlos Heel gets injured. Right. And oh man, Philly fans were losing their mind because he did roll quite a bit. I will say that he rolled quite a bit and people were like, he's faking it. And even my wife's like, oh, he's faking. He's got to get up. And I said, I don't know. I think he's really hurt here. I was like, see how long it's like taking him to like get up. She's like, yeah, but he like rolled a million times. I was like, well, yeah, but he would get back up. Like, he's been on the ground for a while. The trainer's coming over. There's no reason for him to delay. They're losing. Like, it didn't make any sense. So then he gets up and he starts like, you know, limping, and people are like, oh, he's really selling it. And Joy's like, look at him trying to sell that up. Like, I think he's really injured. Like, he's not moving the same way he was before. And then, turns out he had to get taken off the field after a few tries of continuing to go. And he was really injured. So it's funny just how sometimes, you know, people will think, oh, he's playing it up, or, you know, it looked like it really did hurt, by the way, his injury. So I was more like, guys, I think he's really hurt type of thing. But man, the fans were not having it. The fans in Philly were not having it. They were giving it to him. And then really there, I thought the ref had a fantastic game, really, except for the missed penalty that eventually had to go to VAR. Now, obviously, the ref was behind the player with the ball. which was, I think, Bedoya, and the goalkeeper. The ref was on the other side. I was sitting at that corner, so I actually had a really good eyesight of it and didn't see a replay. And as soon as it happened, I said, that's a penalty. And then, you know, I had a better view than the ref. And I was like, just please take this to VAR. And they did. And they got the right call. But I don't know. I was very proud of my impartiality for that, because I think sometimes when you're in a stadium with a bunch of fans that are like-minded like you, you kind of can hop on the ref you suck train as the fans were chanting. And just remember what refs are going through. It's tough to make those decisions on the moment. I even feel bad for the ref that the Vancouver player ran into in that LA game, because everybody's really ripping him to shreds. And I'm like, what else is he really supposed to do? He's trying to get out of the way of the ball, and the player kind of runs into him. Like, he's, I don't know. It's a tough thing to do. I feel sorry for refs sometime. And then, like you said, we just had this Miazga incident. So it's been a tough time for refs. I don't think they get the kudos they deserve at times. It was a fun game, though. I had a great time. I think the last three times I've gone to a Union game, they've scored at least three goals.
Well, it's time that you keep going.
Yeah, that's why they keep trying to get me to get season tickets. They keep calling me. They're like, you got
to travel to Cincinnati next.
Yeah, because that's who they're playing next if they move on. Houston beat Salt Lake in game 1-2-1. Cincy stomped New York 3-0. And SKC really stomped St. Louis 4-1. I was watching that game, and oh my goodness, that game was nuts. And then also in that Cincy game, that was the one where the Acosta, you know, shooting from, I don't know, almost halfway because the goalkeeper was out, and being able to score that. So that was a mess by Red Bulls. Orlando currently leading 1-0. They'll play tonight. They beat Nashville 1-0 in game 1. Logan, as an Orlando fan, how are you feeling about this team here? Because the Miazga incident might leave space here for Orlando to possibly be in position to host some sort of game here in the playoffs the further you go, right? Like, if Cincy gets bounced out by the Union or the Revs, Orlando's going to host that game, and then Orlando's going to host the final, if everything works out, I think, right, by standings?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's got to be pretty good. But Nashville is pretty tough defensively. It was a 1-0 win. You're now going to Nashville. What's your prospects on game 2 tonight?
Yeah, I think they've won 6 games on the road this year. They've been a pretty decent road team as far as going to a place that's really tough to play. I feel pretty good. Like, I feel like they could win this game. I would say it would go to penalties because, again, I think Nashville's very stout defensively. If I had to predict, I think it goes to penalties, and I've got more confidence in our team through penalties if we can force that. But, again, I think that speaking to what Sporting Kansas City's done, Orlando's been one of the hottest teams in the East. So, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good about it, feeling pretty confident. I think getting that 1-0 win at home to start out the playoffs is just a huge – I mean, getting a one-game win, I think it's like 70% of the time the team that wins the first game is going to go on. So, just feeling pretty confident about it. I think it
– Well, I don't know. Where's the stat from? Because like, this is the first year of it.
not that – like the in most games – in Game 3 series, like
okay,
baseball.
Okay. I was
yeah.
like
– Yeah, no. Not soccer, no.
I mean, because so far it'd actually probably be like – Well, we've only had game 2s, right? I was going to say, so far, it would be like 75% maybe still. Because we've had so many sweeps already.
Right. We've got 8 series, right? 1's gone on, 2's gone on.
3 have been sweeps.
Yeah.
3 out of the 5 that have finished 2 games have been sweeps.
Okay.
Still a pretty good 60%. Stat, I guess.
Yeah. But I think statistically, game 3s and across all sports are right around the 70% mark.
Okay.
For game 3s.
That's good. That makes me feel good, too.
Yeah. No, it's a very good stat. And then game fives, well, we could get, there's not going to be a game five for any of them. But yeah, game five is the same thing. I think it's like 80%. So it's wild.
Yeah, and tonight we have Atlanta and Columbus, game two, and Orlando, Nashville, game two. Columbus leads Atlanta 2-0 in the first game, so it's 1-0 in the series. There's no aggregate, so I just said that confusingly. I'm sorry. Seattle beat Dallas 2-0 in the first game, and then they've already played game two just 4 days later, if that makes sense, and was one of the first game twos. For no reason, I guess. It's kind of an odd situation. While Philly is still waiting for their game too. And then Cincy winning on penalty kicks against New York. Dallas beat Seattle 3-1. That I flipped over from the penalties, turned it on to that game, and game's already 2-0. Dallas. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch Sac Republic Phoenix then. And then, or no, whatever game. Yeah, that was Saturday, I think. And then Sunday, SKC finished it up against St. Louis 2-1, and LAFC beat Vancouver 1-0. Yesterday, Salt Lake and Houston tied, and Salt Lake won on penalty kicks. All right, so here's your schedule for the rest of the week. I mentioned tonight, Atlanta, Columbus at 7, Nashville, Orlando at 9. Tomorrow, Wednesday, November 8th, New England and Philly at 7 o'clock. That game is also on FS1 as well as MLS Season Pass. There's a friendly on Friday, Miami NYCFC at 8 o'clock to celebrate Messi's 8th Ballon d'Or. I saw some people complaining about this. I don't have a problem.
No, it's fine. It's just funny.
Yeah, it is funny, I guess. But it's also like, look, if they want to throw a friendly and celebrate this, yeah, go for it.
Got no issue. Yeah.
Some people are saying calling it cash grab or what? Undermining the MLS playoffs. It's the only game on at the time. 10 o'clock. Seattle, Dallas will play. So there you go. Saturday, November 11th is Houston RSL. And then Sunday, November 12th, is three games if necessary. Philly, New England, Orlando, Nashville, Columbus, Atlanta. Those games are at 3, 5, and 7. So we didn't really ask your thoughts on the format, but what's your thoughts on the format, Logan? Because here's the thing. The teams that have swept now have 3 weeks off because we also have an international break in here.
Mm-hmm.
So did they actually get any sort of reward for sweeping? I mean, that now they're gonna sit cold. I think it's kind of odd.
Yeah, I'm okay going back to one game. Personally, I don't really care for the three game format, because I think if a team's gonna beat a team just like SKC beat them in St. Louis in the first game, like, we didn't need two games to figure that out. Like, they just didn't look the same. I feel like three games, especially because a majority of these series, Jordan, are gonna be brutal to watch. Like, the LAFC one was awful. Like, it was awful. I don't need to watch that twice. Like, don't need to see them absolutely smash in Vancouver after they already won 5-2. Like, I just don't need to see it. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan. It prolongs the season and adds more games. They're already adding more games internationally anyway. Seems like every, you know, all the CONCACAF stuff that's going on now, leagues, cup, just too many games. Get rid of them. I like the one and done. It's fun. It's more interesting. Makes the games more interesting too, I think.
Yeah, I think some of these games have been great. Mm-hmm. I think they still could have been great with one game, right? I saw a lot of people say, well, what happens like when the Union are 3-0 up over Revs? And you're like, what do we even try to come back? Or is it just, all right, this game's in the books, we'll come back tomorrow or 10 days from now and play game two, because there's no aggregate.
Yep.
But I think it was fine to not be an aggregate, I think. I've enjoyed some of the aspects, like the fact that once it was 3-1, I was celebrating, I was having a good time. I knew no overtime going into it. I just knew we'd go straight to penalties, and I was like, all right, this is a two-hour commitment. This is great. You know, takes me 2 hours to get up there, pretty much. Takes me 2 hours to get back, you know. So I was like, this is a 6-hour day, right? Pretty much. So I was excited that it wasn't going to go super long. But then it also, as everybody's cheering and walking out of the stadium, you start realizing, huh, well, it feels like we moved on, but we haven't. We still got two more games. we got to win at least one of those. So kind of odd, but I'm also used to that from baseball, right? Like I've seen
other sports are all like that.
Yeah, so. I've NBA, right? Like I've seen
NFL's the only one.
I've seen games where, you know, some of my best memories. I went to an Orioles Yankees game in the ALDS, 2012. I saw a win, but we didn't win that series. So I was kind of like, but soccer's not usually a series, right? So it kind of is like you're kind of born to look at a game a certain way. That I had great memories there. Now, if we lose these next two games, I don't know how fondly I'm looking back at that game, right? Like, because I've never usually seen a Union game have to have wait for context like that. So it is tough. It is tough. I think they should probably go back to one game. They should probably cut back on how many playoff teams get in too. But I think once you open up that bottle,
you open it
enough to get it back in.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Well, that about wraps us up. USL Championship is also on Sunday, by the way, and it is a really fun match. This game's going to be at 7 o'clock on ESPN2. And Charleston is hosting Phoenix Rising. So, Logan, you should go visit some family on Sunday. And
yeah, that's a long drive.
but it's the sixth seed in the West versus the third seed in the East. Phoenix Rising, Charleston Battery, 7 p.m. Sunday on ESPN2, also being played on SiriusXM. And very excited to see how this goes down. This is the Battery's first trip to the championship final since 2012, as they beat Louisville City. And Phoenix Rising are claiming their third Western Conference title in six seasons as they beat Sac Republic, who was the one seed. And Sac Republic had a lead, 1-0. And then late comes back, Phoenix scores two, and it's going to go back to the final game.
Yeah, no, it is 6 hours. That's long. my brother. Yeah, so take Maddox to the game. He'll enjoy it. Battery game.
Yeah, so is that 6 hours each way, right?
So yeah.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah, I know you won't. So. That's funny.
Yeah, so that about wraps us up. But I'm really excited for that game. Hopefully, there's no game threes added on Sunday, and everybody can just sit back and watch the USL Championship. That would be really fun. I'll probably watch it over at my parents' house. I'm supposed to go over there in the evening, so that'll be fun. All right. Well, thank you all for watching and listening. We will catch you next time. This is at Stateside Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads. You can reach us all there. Give us your feedback. You can comment on the video below on both Facebook or YouTube, and you can give us any sort of feedback there as well. As we enter in the new era here, this will be the last game on ESPN2 for the USL as they look to move to CBS, which we talked about at the top of the show. So if you joined us late, you can catch our thoughts on that news at the beginning of the show. Have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time.